Hey, this is John O'Callaghan from the Main, and you're listening to Mixtape here on IW Radio.
So many things I want to convey, but don't want to write you no letter. There's so many songs that already say the way that I feel is much better. So here's a mixtape to relay how I'm feeling today. A few songs that touch on just what I'm trying to say. So sit back and relax with no further delay. Here is your mixtape.
Show starts. I just wanted to give you a heads up that we had tons of audio problems, so I just kind of had to put it together the best I can. We had to record this in a hotel room at 12 in the morning after a 10-hour drive, and every problem that you could have imagined happened, and some stuff I was able to fix and some stuff not. So bear with us. Hopefully you'll enjoy the show, but we just wanted to get it out regardless, because we wanted you guys to hear it. So I think you're going to enjoy it. So I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
We're going?
We're all going. We're good.
Shh. I think he's still here. I think he's still outside. We have to be quiet. It's about 12:33 in the morning. We've been doing our best to keep our voices down, but I think he's still outside the door. It's Krampus.
It's Krampus. Krampus.
It is currently 12:33 here in Provo, Utah.
Yes.
We are currently in a hotel room. That's why we're keeping our voices at a...
I think you can talk a little bit louder.
Hotel room volume.
I think you can talk.
Yeah, we can talk.
We are currently on tour. What?
Nothing. We're good.
Okay. We're currently on tour. Currently eating. We're not eating.
That's just a lie.
That's just lying. I currently don't have much to say other than... I'm very thankful for music. I'm very thankful for friendship. I'm very thankful for fellows. The O is masculine. The A is feminine. Fellows is girls. And fellows is boys.
I didn't know
We've played one show on our holiday tour with the Technicolors yesterday in Flagstaff, Arizona. Is our third show in Flagstaff to this date.
Second.
Oh, second. But I got confused because of the Pine Ridge or Pine Blue Ridge High School when we first started. And that's a good segue into introducing my VIP player pimps, my poppy chulos of the evening. Poppy chulo means like pimp daddies.
Does it?
Yeah. So you guys are my honorary puppy chulos.
Thank you.
My guests this evening are bandmates, first and foremost, they're friends. Secondly, they're bandmates. Third, they're my fellows. The main. Hey, welcome to the show, you guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks so much.
Hey. Fellow.
Sharing the mic with Ken.
Let's talk. Let's coffee chat. Let's have some coffee talk.
So the topic of this week is songs that influenced us as a band.
Yeah, that's fat.
We're going to talk about that.
We're going to attempt to lower volume. Like Pat said, this whole week is dedicated to songs that have influenced our band and the 9 years that we've been going. We will begin conversation with any of us remembering what songs or artists we were listening to when we first started out.
Oh, I know.
He's going to say Akon.
No, Casino's first record.
Yeah.
You jammed that hard, and then I jammed it real hard in my senior year of high school being sad.
Mm-hmm. I actually put that...
It's just sad.
Sad senior year. You
should laugh at that, I guess.
I put that on the first week's playlist because I just remember being on the road that first time and definitely listening to that a lot. I don't really remember. Does anybody recall what we were listening to when we were writing?
I remember
for the first record,
Justin
or
Timberlake record had just came out when I picked you up to bring you to my house for the first band practice, and you put that on, and I think that me and Garrett hadn't heard it.
Yeah.
Ooh. More so, like, what were we listening to when we
wrote
the first record?
I remember I had just kind of started listening to Out of the Vein, Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, me too.
I listened to that record, like, nonstop.
Totally.
Like, especially when we were in the studio. I remember, like...
I guess we should, really quick, who's talking right
now? Oh, hey, it's me, Jared.
Hey, it's Garrett. Hi.
Hey, it's Ken.
It's Pat.
Okay, there we go. Voice recognition.
Now you know.
But yeah, that record was a big... I mean, I listened to it, like, religiously. I hadn't even really heard it until we were going into the writing process for that album. And...
The Starting Line. I remember we were jamming real hard.
Yeah.
Would have been...
What?
Direction.
Direct?
Would have been out, yeah.
The One Direction.
But, I mean, I can't really remember, like, what records were, like, influence on the record, you know, like
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
like, I don't think that we used, like, I don't know what we would have used as like a reference, like what we were saying. Like,
that's what I was trying to get at, because I couldn't really think about
it. It was also a weird time because people were telling us that we sounded like other artists and stuff too. That, like,
I mean, some of the writing for that stuff was done, you know, I remember even in, like, in the car, like when we were on the way, like This Is the End, like when we were driving, I want to say we were doing, like, honestly listening to Casino. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what we were listening to.
A lot of that first record was written while we were on the road. Like,
I remember we were in Texas and Girls Do What They Want.
Yeah,
you and Jared wrote in the back of the, yeah. And I remember you coming up with that line, and I was like, oh,
no,
shit.
I'm going to actually fill everyone out there in cyber world in on where I actually stole that. Not stole, but borrowed. Project Pat.
Oh, my God. I totally remember you showing me that.
Yeah, so that
is... I think this was it right here.
Wow. So are we going on record right now saying that Project Pat influenced the first record?
Absolutely. It's specifically Girls Do What They Want, but
thanks, Pat.
Shout out to Memphis 10. Shout out to Project Pat.
Shouts out.
I don't remember, though, going... I don't remember, obviously, going into the studio, like you're saying, Pat, and, like, listening to reference tracks with Matt Squire.
No, but I remember him... pushing us to try things, like, Yeah, but like that was more kiss and sell.
That was like pushing like, oh, write a song in three and like.
Yeah. So like, here's yeah. this instrument you've never touched before. Do something with yeah. it. Like, I remember that happened a couple times.
That was accordion.
Accordion, the slide.
Lap steel.
There's a
bunch. You would always talk about Prince, but we didn't listen to Prince.
He was like way into Prince. I remember that. He said that Prince was all he was listening to at that point.
He said he only listened to Prince.
And I, for whatever reason, to this day, have still not given Prince a fair shot.
Yeah, I mean,
which is crazy. But
I listened to Purple Rain not too long ago. It was crazy. Crazy album.
I guess transitioning into some of the first songs that we'll play. The first song that I chose, and for everybody listening, basically what I did is I just put out an email to my friends that I'm talking with and said, pick a couple songs that I can include. So I'm going to be selfish and just start it off with something that I know all of us can agree upon. But when we first started out, Tim Towner, who ran, what was the
Daily Course.
The Daily
which
Course.
Was like a website that I wish existed now. So they would, basically it was only meant to showcase unsigned bands
yeah.
to people in like the music industry, basically. It wasn't even really for fans. It was more of a website for people in the music industry. And pretty much he'd have like this list of bands that he thought were like the best unsigned bands. And pretty much like everybody in the top 15 went on to at least
get signed.
Do something.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, All Time Low was on there and, you know, just like tons of bands that like went on to actually like get signed and stuff.
Yeah, so he would like write up a little blurb about each of the bands on the list. And when he wrote something about us, he had mentioned that we reminded
like
him
a young version of the Replacements.
And I think at the time, none of us had really listened to the Replacements. At least
I had no idea.
I thought the Replacements were the Refreshments. And
yeah, I did too, and that's totally not the same band at all.
Refreshments is like a spring break trip
actually
to
remember,
Rocky Point, whereas the Replacements is like a punk rock club in Minneapolis.
I remember going and listening to the Refreshments on accident after that, thinking that that's what he said, and being like, he thinks
really.
We sound like what now? Like I was so confused.
So just how far down do you want to go? But I it's really hard to like actually take what people say. I mean, it's hard to listen to it, you know, objectively or like listen outside of what we're actually doing. But I now, in retrospect, take it as a huge compliment.
Totally, and I didn't really understand it, like you said, until recently when mm-hmm. I was listening to him, because it must have been like the town's been talking, and when in the pre-chorus when you like kind of like crack
mm-hmm.
and it's like so Paul Westerberg now that I listen to it, but I would have like it took me years to even sort of
absolutely yeah I mean together. I think now more so than ever we're actually true fans of the Replacements, which I think is really
kind of a weird thing to be like told that you sound like something that you liked but you had never heard.
We've had that happen a few times where we talk about told about bands that we are reminded of.
But we side note, we also had the pleasure last 2 years, 2 years ago, of mm-hmm. playing with the Replacements.
Not quite that long ago.
Yeah. A year and a half.
Yeah.
That was one of the coolest things ever.
That was the happiest little accident of all time.
We ended up playing, it was like a rained out festival, so we went to a club and we played four songs on a throw together show, and it was really just an excuse to kind of watch them
play their first club show in 20 years.
Yeah, and we were arms around strangers and singing words to these great songs. So this first one I remember. Some nice Asian man and I
were
Garrett, this man and I were just drunk and in love mm-hmm. and singing every word.
It was insane.
Singing every word
to the front row
to Unsatisfied by the Replacements. So without further ado, here it is.
Thank you. Next song we're going to talk about comes from Ryan Adams, who we had the chance to meet a couple years ago, and I think it kind of was another thing that had a big influence on our band, not even necessarily just his like songwriting, but just being able to meet him and be around a person like that.
Yeah, we went to a studio probably 4 months before we did Forever Halloween.
Yeah.
He invited us out, and it was fucking crazy.
Yeah. Basically, he had contacted Garrett through Twitter.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of you guys had sent him, like, tweets talking about us.
Yeah, it was bonkers and strange. But yeah, and then we were talking for a little while, and then we were talking about doing an album, and then it didn't work out. But we ended up just going to his studio, and he showed us around, and there's all these things that, you know, you've seen, like guitars and shit that, you know, you're like, holy fuck, like, there's that Gibson. And
yeah, I mean, just being in that room, like, he has the coolest gear. I think that is what really, like, triggered something in us to get recording gear and to do all this stuff, which ended up, like, changing Forever Halloween and American Candy in, like, such a big way. Like,
yeah, he records everything to tape and live, and so that's kind of, we've always talked about doing it, but you really need someone that has done it that way to actually record in that way, because if you've never done it, it's very weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was showing us his tape machine, and what was the quote?
He said, I record on tape because with computers, they're good to look at porn, send an email to your mom, but a tape machine only records music, so he's going to go with that one because he can trust it. And we just thought that was like, I mean, it just makes perfect sense, you know? Mm-hmm. So we just thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, and I remember he could record in any room in the studio. Like, yeah. He would have mic inputs, like, even in the bathroom.
Yeah, and, like, in his office. And yeah. Just, like, everywhere. Yeah. That was so cool. Yeah, and then he, I think just that time just really, like, made us decide, like, oh, like, we want to record with, like, an artist. Like, we want to record with, like, someone that just, like, lives and breathes this. And then one day, we were in Nashville on tour, and I was just, like, laying in my bunk, and we were trying to figure out who to record with, and it just, like, popped into my head, like, why not Brennan Benson?
Yeah, I mean, we knew he had a studio. I think we knew he had a studio. And you know, we were fans of the Rack and Tours, I knew a little bit of his solo stuff, but it was mostly Rack and Tours, and just the tones and the way he would put songs together was, you know, next level. So I think that's kind of where you came up with that idea that it kind of worked. And so how did we get in contact?
I just told Tim that we wanted to work with him, and he, like, looked up online and got in contact with his manager. And I think,
I mean, it's a lot easier to do that than you think.
I mean, I think we heard back, like, literally, like, that same day, like, that he was at least, like, interested in doing it. And then we started, like, going back and forth, and, you know, just working with him, you know, just changed, like, so much for us on that record. And it was exactly what we were looking for. It was, recorded live, we recorded a tape, we recorded with an artist. But,
well, it was funny, because I didn't realize that when doing it live, even the vocals were at, you know, like, I was like, oh, we'll go back and do vocals at a different time. But no, we did everything at the same exact time.
Yeah. That was insane. I think, you know, that even then went on to inform American Candy, which we didn't record in that way, but we just took, like, so much from that experience, and even, like, just learning to use the, like, recording studio kind of more as an instrument, too. Which is something that, you know, we will forever now do. So
forever, yeah. Halloween do.
Forever Halloween do. So now we'll go into a couple more songs. This is Ryan Adams, Starting to Hurt.
Thank you. That was Ryan Adams with Starting to Hurt, New Radicals with Gotta Stay High, and Radiohead with Stop Whispering. So here's Just Watch the Fireworks by Jimmy Eat World.
Here, you can be anything, anything that scares you. I think that scares you. Here, I've been here before, but only by myself. I'm
All right, so we're going to do something now. We're going to actually play a demo that we have. And I think kind of keep in mind that when we demo stuff, it's like we keep it really raw. I think we kind of do that on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, to try and, you know, leave some room. I think in our minds, at least, when we get to the studio, there's kind of that eureka moment when something goes right on a song. And I think, you know, leaving it kind of bare bones until then, for us, it allows that kind of creativity to kind of shine through right in the studio.
Yeah, so this one was, I forget, when exactly did we, do you remember exactly when?
Well, it was recording, it was one that didn't make it for Forever Halloween. We were working on this song in particular, and it was kind of a song that, yeah, we have these a lot where we just kind of go off in different directions when we're demoing, and I feel like the song process for us, we trying to, I guess, just expand on where we can go as a band. So this one's kind of a longer song. We kind of decided to go out on a jam for a little while really kind of don't really make it clear where we're going as far as vocals and direction.
But I like it. There's kind of, you can hear there's kind of like a pause for thinking, like in the moment, right in the middle of the song. We're just kind of like, I don't know, just bear with it, because I promise there's a cool part that follows, but there's a little bit of a lull in the middle of it, because that's literally just our brains being like, okay, what the fuck do we do next? So, which is kind of cool about, like we were saying, how raw sometimes these demos turn out. I know we were talking earlier about listening to, like, the Death Cab demos for Transatlanticism, and just laughing at the contrast at how, I mean, it almost seems made up to me that,
you know, how they would good release their, such a polished their demo sound.
Demo, because for us, it's always just like go in and kind of pick out,
put a couple microphones in the room and then pick up all that. So that's kind of what's going on.
So thank you guys for bearing with us with all these audio problems. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. A little bit of a different episode for the mixtape this week. And we will be back next week with another guest and talking about stuff. So, and we're going to be on tour for the next week or so. So come and hang out. And yeah, thanks for jamming, man. I'm giving up the peace signs to the audio.
They can't see it.
They can't see it though. So we're gonna drive now and go to Seattle to play a show. Alrighty, thanks.